I can see everything working. Hopefully everything's working, Greg. So we'll just talk for a second. And if this works, then we're going to leave this in the podcast. And if it doesn't work, then I'm going to feel like a dummy and we're going to have to start again.
That's fair.
I like how you're like, that's fair. You can be a dummy.
That's fair. No, I think it's entirely fair.
Greg's like, you do all the editing. You do whatever you want.
Yep. Dead air is always good.
Okay, for real, this is the last time. I think I was recording it in mono or something stupid.
Casting sports entertainment is Brad, the Dad, and Father Greg, the Smack Daddies.
Hello, friends, and welcome to your SmackDown review for the Hub. I am Brad, the Dad. Running shotgun with me is my tag team partner, Greg, Father Feltham.
Yeah, you got to redo that.
What?
We're not reviewing SmackDown.
No, I'm not redoing this, Greg. Fine. Hello, friends, and welcome. I'm not going to even edit this out. Hello, friends, and welcome to the Hub. I am Brad the Dad, and running shotgun with me is my tag team partner, Greg, Father Feltham.
Bless you, my son.
And we normally only do SmackDown. We do the occasional BLE, usually when it's like afternoon, because you and I can work our schedules. And
we're old men. Let's be honest.
Yeah, our wives are much happier when they're at work and they come home and the podcast is done.
Exactly.
Which we get to do when they go to Europe. So we're still sitting here in...
We're talking about WWE, not our wives, right?
If our wives go to Europe together, they're never coming back.
That's fair.
They're going to find handsome European metrosexual men, and we're freaked.
With thick accents.
And nice abs. And then we're done, Greg. Then we're done.
100%.
So we are actually recording a podcast to talk about Elimination Chamber, which is hilarious because Greg and I had two very different experiences, even though we sat next to each other.
We sat next to each other in the arena, and Brad and I had entirely different experiences.
And we didn't realize it until we were watching the show this morning to kind of watch through some of the matches and commentary, because Greg had commentary for most of the show until his earbuds died.
Yes. I decided to turn on the Netflix, eat my data on my phone, and... I was about, 30, 45 seconds behind live, so it wasn't terrible. And so I was kind of getting the experience that way, whereas Brad was, just kind of soaking it all up.
Well, so full disclosure, my phone would not, I didn't have enough, I'm on Eastlink and you're on Bell, right?
No, I'm Public Mobile, actually.
Okay, well, you're Public Mobile, Telus beats Eastlink, because Eastlink is Rogers, and the Rogers network would not help me. So every time I would try and get on Netflix, whether I was on the Wi-Fi or I was on the... wouldn't.
What's the name of that building we were in last night?
The Rogers Center.
Right. I'm glad that their network doesn't work in their building.
Yeah, it was hilarious. So Greg and I are here this morning. We thought we'd throw in the microphone and record in the hotel room. So again...
Before they kick us out.
They're not going to kick us out.
I mean,
we're on noon.
Yeah, well.
I mean, we filled the room full of garbage and empties.
Yeah, so.
And I'm going to have the ceremonial. I'm going to get Greg to videotape it. We're going to have the ceremonial pouring out of the $10 can of Coke.
For Randy's $10 can of Coke, yes.
That's how you know the value of the room you're staying in based on how much they sell their dollar store items for.
Yes. Yes.
And so when you sell a can of Coke for $8 and they don't have change, so they say, well, we can't break your 10, and you say, sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Then that's when you know you're freaked.
Yeah, that's right.
So we are here sitting in the hotel room. We watched Elimination Chamber with 38,000 of our closest friends.
38,493.
And so I'm going to give you the perspective of wrestling, random wrestling fans who sat around us, because they had a running commentary throughout the night.
Yeah.
And... my buddy Greg was listening to the network.
Yes. Yeah.
So we're on the floor. Let's talk a little bit about and give a shout out to Poison Rana and the Locked In, which was a really cool event.
Yeah. So before the show, we ended up going to the Locked In, which was, as Brad said, hosted by Poison Rana, just around the corner from Skydome's, what, 5-8 minute walk?
Yeah.
Maybe. Door to door. So we spent the afternoon there. We got a chance to hang out with Jimmy Corderas and have a beer with Jimmy. We had Donna De Silva set with us, Greg Oliver, and Bob Kapoor from Slam Wrestling were set with us.
You can't forget technical producer, the one and only Lincoln Allen.
Lincoln Allen was there. You're absolutely right. We met, obviously, I'm going to get these messed up.
We got
Braden and Davey because I want to combine the names.
Because of the BDE.
I know.
And we had our own BDE experience.
We did.
We both have fancy wristbands to take home.
Yeah.
Thanks, Brady and Davey. My daughter is going to love her fancy wristband. And I'm also going to give a shout out. The beer that you guys had recommended was excellent. And the food was great. The service was fantastic, except for the fact that the poor ladies there looked like they were going to die.
Yes, yeah, they run off their feet for sure. We ended up catching up with Boris from A+.
Yeah.
So, and if I forgot anyone, I apologize, but there was just so many people in this little bar, and we were just happy to spend most of the afternoon with everyone.
Yeah, we had Randy and Eric, obviously, and then we had the other Eric.
Yes, Eric. Yeah,
Eric Reed. Who probably is going to shoot me if he listens to this podcast because I called him the other Eric.
The other Eric, yeah.
And we met Randy's kid and his future son-in-law and his kid's friend. And it was like we had an experience. It was a lot of fun. The kids joined us after we left the bar. We met them at the gate.
Yeah.
So shout out to Bob and to Donnie and to Lincoln and to Bob. I already said Bob. Greg. We chatted, we talked wrestling, we had a great time. Yeah. I'm gonna, like, between Jimmy, just like the weird experience of watching wrestling with Jimmy while Jimmy's on TV is a totally weird thing to say that you did.
So I actually had a little discussion with Jimmy and have a suggestion for a future show that Jimmy might consider doing. So if that comes to fruition, I will gladly take the credit for it, even though I think they already had the idea themselves, but I'm going to take credit for it.
So it's a watch along with Jimmy?
Yeah.
And he watches his own match. You know what that would be really funny for? To see if he actually remembers some of these matches.
Well, it's more so like, for me, it was the stuff that's going on behind the scenes as he's done this match, if he remembers things. Like, we were watching, and I think it was X7,
yeah,
where they had, like, Kane in the back with the golf cart and stuff.
Yes, and Big Show was in that match, and Raven, and apparently there was an incident with a golf cart, which I won't spoil the story, but Jimmy, that could be a story time with Jimmy. But also, just you watching that match and him just giving you, like, slapping that concrete is really, hurts the hand.
Yeah, no, so, but it was great. It was so nice to see everyone there yesterday. While Elimination Chamber was fantastic, that was super fun because you actually got a chance to kind of breathe and, it wasn't 38,000 people with you, but it was still an awful lot of fun. But let's move on.
Hold on. I got to give one last shout out to the guys from Slam. I mean, between Bob Kapoor, who could not have been nicer, and Greg Oliver said the most important thing. And the reason why I will recommend this to a wrestling fan, if you're a wrestling fan who's traveling into town or you live here in Toronto, go down, join Braden and Davey for one of their experiences. Because the really cool thing about that is that it's not just the karaoke and all the other stuff. You get to hang out with fellow wrestling fans. I mean, Bob Kapoor marking out watching the Gimmick Battle Royal will be something I remember for a very, very long time.
That's so fun, yeah.
All right, let's go to we can shout out all of our new friends, Greg. So go support all their work. You can support good Canadian content.
Okay. Yes.
Which ties nicely right into the beginning of the PLE, Greg. See what I did for you?
Yes, we did.
I set you up for a nice... You can get... Come on, Greg. Talk about... We had the singing of the national anthems as Greg puts his note, brings his notes out.
Yeah, no. I'm not touching that shit with a 10-foot pole.
So all I can tell you is, so the national anthems were played. The loudest boo, I think the biggest heat of the night was the U.S. national anthem.
No.
Okay.
No, sir.
There was another wrestler later?
It ties in later.
But I'll tell you how, for those of us who live in the wrestling bubble, if you're not watching mainstream media, it made, like, Twitter last night. My wife said it was all over Twitter, and it even made one of the news streams she follows.
Fair enough.
So I'm not sure if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but the Canadian anthem was...
Yeah, it's going to be what it's going to be for now.
And the big thing I will say to anyone was, around us, the commentary was, well, we have to boo really loud for the national anthem for the Americans, and then we have to cheer for the Canadian one so that the poor girl singing it knows that it's not about her and that this is just us voicing our displeasure. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, guys, sure. Right. That protest worked. I'm sure Donald Trump is somewhere shaking his fist at Anakin, like in the episode of Simpsons, angry man shakes fist at clouds.
Yes, definitely.
And Greg's like, we're talking about the most controversial thing ever. Keep moving. Greg, I talk about religion and politics for a living. This is minor. So let's talk about our good friend, our new favorite people who were all in the Elimination Chamber match. So Bianca Belair, Alexa Bliss, Bayley, Liv Morgan, Naomi, and Roxanne Perez. We started with Liv Morgan and Naomi in the middle of the ring, Greg.
Yes, that's what we did. We started with that.
And this match went 29 minutes and 15 seconds, according to Wikipedia. It definitely did not feel like it was a 30-minute match.
No.
And I'm not sure if the sequence at the beginning counts as part of the match, if that's in this time.
Yeah, sure. Let's call it that.
So what ended up happening was we had... The match is about to begin. The cage is not closed yet. And Jade's music hits. There's a huge pop. Liv Morgan is freaked out. She's about to be attacked. But Greg, she's not attacked. Because, as he's looking at his phone, we end up being attacked. The attack is Jade turns and she takes out Naomi. And Naomi's in the corner where you can see Bianca Belair. And Bianca Belair is distraught. She can't get out to help her friend. And now her two friends are tearing each other apart. And eventually the door is slammed on her, sort of, and that's the end of Naomi. She's been eliminated from the match. Liv Morgan is laughing. Greg.
Yeah, Bianca being devastated here, and, you know, she was angry crying.
Oh, Naomi. Yeah, Bianca crying over Naomi.
And the whole thing.
Yeah, it was fine. So we ended up with... I mean, it was an interesting way to start the match. And then, of course, the first person in after that, entry number three, technically, is Bianca Belair. And so Bianca is trying to get to her friend. The door is closed, and then the match is on. And Bianca quickly switches to focusing on Liv Morgan. And they have an incredible sequence. But, I mean, so I'm just going to go through the entry, and then we'll go through the eliminations, and we'll talk about a couple of highlights, okay? Because sure. This match is chaotic. So, and without the commentary, it was hard to follow. And all I had was this guy behind me. I'm not even going to try and guess his ethnicity. He was wearing a grill and he kept yelling, "Yo, that my wifey," at Liv Morgan. "Go wifey, go wifey."
Yeah. he was definitely animated, wasn't he?
Yeah, and he got more animated as the beers kept flowing throughout the evening. It was so much fun. So yelling at wifey. So second in was Liv, third was Bianca. Fourth came in Roxanne Perez. She had her sequence. Then she faced off with Bayley, who entered fifth. And Bayley was in there. And I'm pretty sure the Alexa Bliss was Alexa Bliss out of her pod before they got rid of Bayley.
Yeah, because I think Alexa Bliss eliminated Bayley.
I know Bayley was eliminated by Liv Morgan.
Oh, by Liv, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember. Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. So the highlights of this match were, I'm gonna say when they climbed up on top of the cell and Bianca whipped Liv Morgan and left a gash across her stomach. And our friends behind us were yelling, "Wifey, no!" And she she didn't fall off the top of the cell. She kind of just crawled down and then held her ribs. And then they sort of caught Bianca when she jumped off on top of the pile.
Yeah.
It didn't really look that great. So, yeah, mostly because they didn't catch her. So, Bailey's attacking, and she gets hit from behind by Liv Morgan with Oblivion. She's out. Roxanne Perez does get sneaky, and she catches Alexa Bliss next, which is elimination number 3. So, Alexa's gone.
Yeah.
This is saying that number 4 was there. Then Liv Morgan catches... Who did Liv eliminate?
Liv eliminates just Bailey and Alexa.
Yeah. And then we end up at the end with a really cool sequence where they did 1, 2, 3 moves in a row.
Yeah.
And that's how they got rid of Roxanne Perez, because Roxanne Perez gets caught by a couple of moves in a row. And then we come down to Bianca Belair and Liv Morgan. And Greg's like, well, Liv's going to win.
I hope Liv was going to win.
Come on.
This is where I kind of am struggling with this one. I'm not sure I really like what's happened. If it's me, and obviously, you know, I've got to sit and wait at this point, but if it's me, if Bianca is as distraught as she should have been, as she was reacting at the very beginning of this, I think that this could have easily been both Naomi being unable to compete and Bianca eliminating herself or leaving the cage. To say, look, no guys, I'm done, and that way you don't have Bianca in this match, and then you could have had a, you know, Alexa Bliss win this, you could have had a Roxanne Perez win this. So I'm not sure Bianca versus the champion is where I think the story should go.
And I like how you say champion, because at the end we had, after Bianca's win, we have a face to face with Rhea Ripley, and then Io Sky walks in between them as if to remind us, oh yeah, this is still happening on Monday.
So that's legitimately, I was like, so when is this happening? Because they mentioned it at the very beginning, like in the announcement of the PLE.
Well, but it's happening on Raw on Monday. And if you want to hear more about this, you can listen to the Raw Dogs, Eric C. and Randy B. And they'll talk to you about bananas, fresh roast beef, and who's going to win between Io Sky and Raquel Rodriguez. I keep doing that.
Rhea Ripley. Yeah, she keep calling her Raquel for some reason all weekend.
2 hours, man.
I know. Don't forget Roman Reigns and Ronda Rousey.
I can forget. She's never coming back.
That's right.
I think this is going to be fine, because what's going to turn out is that Bianca and Naomi were in on it together.
Yeah.
And she's going to attack, go after Naomi, and she's not going to know. She's going to wonder why Jade is going to wonder why Bianca is maybe has the split loyalty thing. And then eventually she's going to go after the title. So it's going to be Jade versus Bianca and the chase for the title.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to the tag team match.
So with our hometown hero, Trish Stratus, Hall of Famer.
Oh, I thought we were talking about Tiffany Stratton, our hometown hero.
You'd think she was from here, the amount of sport, the gear she's been wearing with the blue and the white.
But I mean, she legit was the top female, noise on the night, by far.
By far.
The stadium erupted when Tiffy came out, when it was Tiffy time.
Well, and the irony was the biggest heel was on the other side, which was Nia Jax and Candice LeRae. They got a huge angry one. I think Nia was like, she kept doing Trish's point and the watch that Tiffy and Trish were doing, and the crowd kept reacting to her. It's like Nia's become quite the heel.
Nia legitimately tried to start a USA chant. Heel is what they said on commentary.
Oh, and we got a running commentary of Pat McAfee saying, "Guys, you gotta stop booing our national anthem."
Yeah.
Throughout the evening. This match was only 10 minutes. And, I mean, I don't really have any highlights for this match other than the fact that Trish hit all of her big spots.
Yeah.
And we got a prettiest moonsault ever for the win.
Yes. Yeah. Nope. So, it was good. What happened in this match is what we expected to happen, so.
It was a feel-good moment. And we needed some feel-good moments before we got to the Empire Strikes Back part of this episode.
Yeah.
Or If you're a Back to the Future fan, it's the second movie in that trilogy.
So, legitimately, myself and Brad were talking off air before we started this morning, and what I had said to Brad was, it's a simple four-match card, is what we had last night. Three of the four matches had something major happen in them that will lead you to WrestleMania. The only match that didn't, as we see right now, is this one.
Yeah, Tiffany Stratton.
Yeah, so...
But the Tiffany Stratton match gave Tiffany Stratton a big win, which she needs going against the heavy favorite, which is going to be... Charlotte Flair.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens, but overall great.
And we're happy that Tiffy's on our show, almost as happy as R-Truth's on our show.
Yes,
that's a 1A and a 1B right there.
That is what I'm really looking forward to after what happened tonight or last night.
Spoilers: Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn in the unsanctioned match. Shout out to Jimmy and Donnie from the main show. You can listen to them on TSN Radio or here on the Hub. So because it was the thing that they nitpicked, and they were right. They did not want the referee to come out in ref's gear.
Yeah.
Because it was unsanctioned. So he came out in a plain black t-shirt.
Yeah.
And a nice subtle touch.
Yeah.
Gregory, what is he wearing?
He's wearing his plastic latex gloves.
And it because he knew this was going to get bloody off the start.
Yeah.
I don't even know how to recap this match and do it justice.
We can't.
Okay, so let's talk about some of the spots then. So there was a spot where there was chairs involved very early. There was a spot where they fought to the outside, and Sammy set up one table and Kevin set up another one. So we had a double stack in the corner, which we were facing towards the back of the pod. Chairs were piled on top of Kevin Owens. It was a hockey stick that came out.
Yes. I got a text message from my kid about 15 minutes or 20 minutes behind schedule. Was like, did they just take out a hockey stick? I'm like, yes, they did.
Hockey stick to the ribs. And then Kevin Owens eventually gets the hockey stick and he strangles Sammy working over the neck. We then have them fight in the corner, and Sammy is pushed through the double stack of tables, which got the loud pop.
It did.
And the holy shit. And at which point I yelled, oh my God, you killed Sammy. And
that's when I yelled, you bastard.
Thank you, Greg. And finished it. And but that wasn't even like, dude, that was like 6 minutes into this match. And then they fight into the crowd. And the crowd starts chanting in different sections. Over here, over here, over here. Because we all want them to go there.
We legitimately thought they were actually coming our way.
Well, they fought through the concession stands near us.
Yeah.
And there was popcorn, not popcorn, because there wasn't popcorn allowed on the floor. There was like drinks and stuff set up on tables. And they went through those concession stands.
Yeah. No.
I'm not sure any of the workers knew they were, like the concession stand workers knew they were about to go through and do that.
No, probably not.
And so we had two tables wrecked. They fought up the stairs. He got hit with the line on commentary, oh my God, he got hit with a Dominic Mysterio.
Yeah.
And Pat McAfee yells at, and Michael Cole's like, he got hit with a garbage can, just to be for clarification for anyone who might be watching at home.
Yeah.
And not able to see. I was like, that's so funny.
Yeah,
now I just have this vision, Greg, of him picking up Dominic Mysterio and whapping Sami Zayn with it.
Yeah.
Anyways, they fought back to the ring. And then we start just getting insanity. So we get a drop toe hold onto the chair first.
This is the barbed wire chair?
No. Before we get to the barbed wire chair, we have a drop toe hold and then a half and half onto a regular chair.
Yeah.
And then Sammy goes, and we're thinking he's getting more tables. No, he's getting a barbed wire chair.
Yes.
And then we start getting suplexes. They whap each other with a chair. And at one point, Kevin Owens, that's right, this is the drop toe hold, face first onto the chair.
Yes. Yeah.
And, you know, then people are talking about, did he hurt his eye? And he's definitely going to be bleeding. And then the boys behind us are like, I wonder what his back looks like underneath that shirt.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it's wild at this point. And then we go to the end sequence where, dude, it's power bombs all around. powerbomb after powerbomb after powerbomb. Kevin Owens just starts wearing Sami Zayn out with powerbombs onto the apron. I mean, I missed all of the ref bumps because the first referee gets taken out by accident by Kevin pulling the referee into a haluva kick.
Not accident. That was on purpose.
Okay. And well, the second one was more on purpose when he took the second referee's head off with a clothesline.
Yeah, he takes out Lil Nate.
Nick Patrick is on the floor selling.
Charles Robinson.
And no, Nick Patrick never would have gotten up.
No.
So and then ref number three is there, and we're just like, he's dead. Yeah. He's going to kill the third ref, especially after Sammy kicked out of a couple ones. But then we go into the powerbomb sequence. We got powerbomb after powerbomb after powerbomb all over the ring aprons. And finally, he hits one on the ring apron, and Sammy fights back a little bit. There's a hope spot, and that lasts all of 30 seconds. And then one more powerbomb. He rolls him back into the ring, apron bomb, and he pins him 1-2-3. And at which point, Kevin Owens is there. There's a ton of indie security. We start playing. Wait, did we see this guy at Superkick on Friday? Yes. Which we saw one of the indie wrestlers who are now security at Superkick and a bunch of other ones. And we think that Kevin Owens is going to eat them all. But no, Kevin Owens starts to walk away. And then he realizes he can do more damage to Sammy. And he comes back and he starts ripping up the, and quite difficultly trying to remove the ringside aprons. Because it's all like, all the cables are taped in there, and anyways, he finally gets something exposed.
It's some concrete-ish thing.
Hardwood floor or whatever it is, and he's going to get him, Greg.
Yeah.
But then we hear voices in our head.
That we did.
And Randy Orton slowly walks up, and I like that. He walks slowly walks up, and then he starts walking towards the ring, and all of a sudden the walk turns from a walk to a jog to a run, and he's pulling his top off, and he jives into the ring, and him and Owens are fighting, and an RKO, and then we think he's going to take a chair, and he's going to beat him with it, and then it's like, no, he looks at the corner a couple times, he teases it, he rubs his ankle, and then just he goes
his knee pad.
And then we're going to get knee pad, and we're going to get kick, Greg.
We're going to get the punt. And just as he's running, he gets halfway across the ring when, you know, you've got WWE officials and that break the two of them up to prevent Kevin Owens from getting punted by Orton. So that's what you're going to get at WrestleMania is Randy Orton punting Kevin Owens.
And the crowd goes home happy because all of our favorite indie wrestlers get RKO'd into oblivion. My favorite one was the last one where Randy Orton offers to shake the guy's hand, and the guy goes, "Oh, great!" And he goes to shake his hand, and then he RKOs him anyway. So I was like, "Kid, if he didn't tell you that, and you improv that, you win. You win the spot of the night. That was at least the improv spot of the night. Yeah. The spot of the night goes. This is the match of the night, right? There's no way like the Elimination Chamber is a big match, but this was insanity.
Yeah. This is one I really enjoyed.
Okay, so our Elimination Chamber match features Drew McIntyre.
Yep.
Damian Priest, Logan Paul, Seth Rollins, CM Punk, and John Cena.
Yep.
So we start off with Drew McIntyre and Seth freaking Rollins,
who I'm pretty sure stole Lyra Valkyrie's wings.
And then They fight for a while. We get Damian Priest in third, and we get more action.
Oh, we've got to talk about Logan Paul's entrance.
Oh, yes, because that was the heat of the night. If it wasn't the national anthem, it was Logan Paul. And why was Logan Paul getting booed, Gregory?
Because he brought out the American flag, waving it the whole way down.
And as he waved it, the crowd went nuclear.
Yeah. So if WWE, I don't know if they had that spot planned, expecting, or if they called an audible based on the reaction at the American anthem at the beginning of the night, but kudos to whoever came up with that.
So even, and the best part was when Damian Priest was about to get ready, we saw Logan Paul taking his vest off in the pod, because he was the pod facing us.
Yeah.
And the guys were like, it's Logan. And then it's like, no. And one of the guys in front of us says, Logan Paul just blue-balled us. And I was dying. I was just dying, Greg.
Logan Paul did bring a Sharpie in and was drawing on the cage again this year.
It was so good. And him and Bailey were great with the crowd. The two of them.
Yeah.
I can't talk about anybody else because I didn't see them, but they were interacting a lot with the people in their section.
Yeah.
Logan Paul comes in fourth, And so then we have the four wrestlers in. And I don't think we get an elimination, Greg. We don't get an elimination until almost like 13 minutes into this.
Yeah.
I think Cena's in by the time we get our first elimination.
I would assume so.
So Cena's in and John and then finally CM Punk. Our first elimination comes around 13 minutes in. Drew McIntyre gets kind of like crucifix pinned by Damian Priest. And Greg goes, ugh. You and both Eric are not happy with the idea of Damian Priest and Drew McIntyre at WrestleMania.
Because I don't think that's what we're going to get.
Oh, really?
No. No.
So the next person eliminated.
But I mean, that does make sense. So I don't know. We'll see. Next person eliminated is Damian Priest.
Right. And Damian Priest gets hit with Logan Paul hitting. It's like that's the frog splash off the top of the cage after Damian Priest has been taken out by somebody else.
Yeah, I think so.
And it was spectacular. The guy, everybody in our thing hated Logan. They're talking about how he steals everybody else's moves.
Yeah.
But my argument would be this, Greg. If he stole the buckshot lariat from Hangman Adam Page, if a tree falls in the woods, does anybody hear it?
No.
And if somebody hits a finisher in AEW, does anybody watch it?
No.
Sorry. There's my ba-dum-bump. So that's it. That was the next one. Logan Paul is then next eliminated by CM Punk with a go to sleep.
Yes.
It was a little back and forth. I think a little assist off of Cena as well. So at this point, we have John Cena and CM Punk looking at each other. They John Cena offers a hand to CM Punk to shake hands, and Punk hugs him, and then the fists start flying.
Yeah.
And the boys are going at it until Seth Rollins comes in. He eventually power bombs John Cena against the cell and throws him in there, and he is all over CM Punk trying to get rid of him. There's a sequence where Seth Rollins gets hit by, before he takes out Cena the first time, he gets hit by a heart attack, which got a huge pop from the Canadian crowd.
Yes.
Everybody recognized the move. Everyone was happy. We then have, this continues until CM Punk catches Seth Rollins. It's like a sequence of an AA to a GTS. And that's what takes out Seth Rollins. It literally took both of the kind of veteran stars in this match to take out Seth Rollins. And then we have the John Cena, CM Punk face-off. This time Cena offers his hand. Punk takes it and pulls him in, tries to hit him with a GTS. Cena slips out. There's then a sequence where there's a scramble and Punk's grabbing the ropes and he's kicking Cena off of him so that he can't get the STFU. And when he kicks Cena off, he turns over and we don't even see it through the camera angle. Seth Rollins comes running in and stomps CM Punk. Then he leaves the cage. It's closed. And he watches from the outside of the cage with a big grin on his face as CM Punk taps out to John Cena. And that's our first hint tonight, because John Cena capitalized on somebody else.
Yeah.
Dude, what was that?
I don't know. I'm still processing.
Technical submission is how they say it. And it was a wild end. And so before we get into anything else, what ends up happening is we hear Adrenaline in Our Soul, Something Something Cody Rhodes, which pretty much finishes the WWE sing-along challenge. Yes. We sang along, we got Seth Rollins, we got Randy Orton. If we had done all of the most recent and popular sing-alongs.
Yeah, I think so.
So I was very happy. It's like I saw Hulk Hogan wrestle at WrestleMania 18. The only problem with that was that he came out to the stupid NWO music and not Real American.
I can't even comment on that anymore.
Well, we could have commented on it like 6 months ago, but now we can't.
Well, I don't know if we could have commented on 6 months ago. 6 years ago, maybe.
Okay. Before Hulk. So we're not going to get into Hulk Hogan. We're going to talk more about the fact that all those guys are out and then the longest entrance, I think it's a joke between Rock and Roman Reigns. They just sit in the back going, hey, I bet you my entrance will go 5 minutes longer. And Rock's like, oh, yeah? And so he has Travis.
Hold my beer.
So he has Travis Scott come out to Travis Scott's song. And all like the guys behind us obviously are big hip-hop heads, and they start losing their mind. Travis Scott comes out. He has his new modern version of the Hardcore title, which is a WWE title they smashed up and put tape on and wrote Hardcore or Travis Scott or whatever. Yeah. And he's holding it over his back. He's drinking an energy drink. He just throws it down as The Rock comes out, and they walk to the ring looking all menacing. And Travis Scott slides into the ring. Rock walks in, and there's this circling going on, and finally, we have this thing, and John Cena's reacting the whole time to Cody. He's like, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. And he's like, you were going to embrace me as a friend, as a brother, and you're going to give me everything.
I want your mind.
I want your heart. I want all of your soul.
At one point, we weren't sure what else Rock was going to ask for from Cody.
There was definitely some jokes made by some of the gentlemen in our section about other things
that he could be asking for, yes.
And so we finish with when Cody looks at him and says, I can't give you my soul. I've already given it to this ring and these people. So Rock, go F yourself. And that was
the crowd goes crazy.
And The Rock doesn't know what to do. Him and Travis Scott are kind of there. Travis Scott is like shocked. I think he has a blunt, but they say it's sage.
Yeah, it's not.
He's upset. Rock's looking upset.
Cena is losing his mind that Cody Rhodes dropped an F-bomb on live TV and that didn't get edited out of Netflix.
And he's cheering and the crowd's cheering. And Cena goes in. And finally Cena goes in to hug Cody. And Cody's back is to The Rock. And John Cena's hugging him. And The Rock does the mafiosa like sign, like cut his throat with two fingers. And then if you look, you see John Cena's face turn from happy superhero John Cena to supervillain John Cena.
And so legitimately, we came back here to the hotel last night and we turned this on because I had lost the commentary partway through the men's match.
Well, we watched the post show and this just to see.
Post show and this, yeah. So when we turned this match on and this section of it, like after The Rock said he wanted his soul, time stood still in the arena. This felt like that hug and the sign from The Rock and the attack in the arena felt like it took 2 or 3 minutes, but on live TV, it took 30 seconds.
And it was played perfectly. Because yeah. John Cena then just attacks Cody. He takes Cody's watch.
Yeah.
And Rolex. His Rolex uses brass knucks. And he gets color. We then have John Cena pick up the microphone and tap it a few times. And you think he's going to say something, but instead he just whoops Cody in the head with it.
Just to make sure the mic is on to make it sound even better.
And then he picks up the WWE title and whaps him in the head a few times. Cody's bleeding. We have a cheap shot from Travis Scott. He gets the sage out. He's smoking them over him. And then as he's held down by Travis Scott and John Cena, and he gets a whooping from The Rock.
The Rock reveals the weight belt that he gets.
With the death date of his father, Dusty Rhodes, written on it. And he whips him with it somewhere in heaven. So I'm not sure if Dusty's crying or smiling because this is heat.
And then The Rock takes Cody's blood and, you know, rubs it all over
the almost belt. Christens the belt with it, like he's making some sort of like biblical sacrifice.
Yeah.
And the sage is spread over Cody.
Yeah.
It's like you didn't want to give me your soul. We're taking it.
Yeah.
And then at the you can hear the headphones come off, and after the heels leave, the commentator comes in. Michael Cole's checking on Cody. Eventually, we have Wade and Pat McAfee are in the ring. After the show goes off the air, and they're all checking on Cody.
Yeah.
And the heels have left. Everybody's checking on Cody.
Yeah, we were off the air. And yeah, now, so it was crazy. Brad, you called it. You called the heel turn yesterday when we did our podcast. I, in the arena, kept saying, no, it's not happening. I did not see it coming. I didn't think that this was actually going to happen, that we were finally going to get, you know, evil Cena.
Greg, they sold out of John Cena merchandise.
Yeah, in our area?
No, I went around. So at one point I went to the bathroom and I walked around the 100 level and there was no, they sold, like unless, except for maybe a few smalls, they sold the towels, they sold the hats, they sold.
I bought one of each.
It's wild.
For my son, yeah.
So they sold all of the John Cena stuff, guys. Yeah. And John Cena turned.
So here's the thing I was thinking of a little bit earlier this morning. I didn't say anything to you. This is John Cena's retirement tour. Does he not retire now? Would that be the ultimate heel thing to do? He's like, yeah, now I'm good now.
I told you yesterday, the thing is, I think this raises the chance that he's going to win the title. He'll get lucky number 17. And then I think he holds it. I think he holds it for a while. And he does like a Brock Lesnar rock, Hollywood rock, the whole thing. Rock's getting him ready for his movie career, and he has the potential that, let's say he sticks to the retirement date. Greg, no one has ever retired as the WWE champion. If he wins the title at Mania and he holds it into like near the end of the year, that becomes, will John Cena take the title and retire with it?
Maybe. I'm not even sure anymore that John Cena's retiring at the end of the year.
This is the best.
Yeah,
so we have been talking for about 40 minutes, Greg. Couple highlights from the post show. Let's finish up with that. The post show ends with we start with Triple H, which is unusual. We then get John Cena come in. He looks around. He takes the microphone, pulls it out of the sleeve, and drops it and leaves.
Yeah.
Winner. And then The Rock rambles.
Best use of a post show. Because it's leaving you wanting more.
And The Rock's three-quarters kayfabe, and it was driving me nuts. So,
and here's the thing. The Rock is not going to be... The Rock has flown to Africa, and John Cena's gone away, I think, for a little bit. So this makes this even more of an intrigue till we get to WrestleMania. So, but that's it. Listen, we should go, because we're going to have to finish packing up and get out of our hotel.
And I still got to edit in post.
You got to edit in post, so... We will catch back up with everyone after Friday Night SmackDown. Hope you enjoyed Elimination Chamber like we did, and we will hit you up on the weekend.
Yes, and so tune in tomorrow or Tuesday. Keep an eye on the hub. You should probably already have Jimmy, Story Time with Jimmy by this point. Maybe. And who knows?
Who knows after this weekend that Story Time with Jimmy may be in a whole new story time they may have to record.
And then you're going to get the Raw Dogs. They'll be up on Tuesday with a big post Elimination Chamber Raw. And then we'll be back for the SmackDown. So in the meantime, follow us on all of our socials and We The Ones.
Go to the outer limits of your mind with the Smack Daddies.